So I've already introduced myself. I've got written down here, introduce self, and I think we've already gone through that, haven't we? But I'm going to be here today and next week. So we'll be spending 2 weeks going through what we call praying through the Psalms or praying with the Psalms. And today we're going to be looking at Psalm 20. Next week we'll be looking at Psalm 103. That's assuming that I'm welcome back after today. But today we're going to have a look at what it means to trust God in prayer. And this is something that I need to do first. So if you keep your Bibles open at Psalm 20, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Yeah. Father, I pray that you will give me clarity of speech. Help me to preach the words that you give. And Father, we thank you that you have given us your Psalms. And thank you that your word endures and is applicable to all generations. Lord, help us to learn what you have for us in this particular psalm. Lord, help us to know the victory that has been won in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will bless each of us here this morning with a greater, deeper knowledge of you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So this weekend, there's millions of men, women and children all round this country. And they're taking part, not in church, but in sporting competitions. And even right now as we gather, there's football, tennis, basketball, all kinds of different sports. And most of the time, or all the time, these sports involve competition. There's winning and there's losing. And everyone wants to be a winner, don't they? You never hear of a team song or a prayer that involves asking to lose a battle. And over the past couple of weeks, as I prepared to come here, I've been taking a look at different team songs and the different ways that teams prepare for what they would call a battle, for a match. And I've discovered that whether they pray, sing, chant, or whatever they do together, it's all about victory. It's all about winning. And there's one team in particular that has a team activity that starts each match that stands out heads and shoulders above the rest. And some of you may already know who I might refer to, but it's the All Blacks, the rugby team, with their haka. And that haka that they perform not only intimidates the opposition, but it pumps up the guys on the team so much that in the opening minutes of a game, they're almost impossible to stop. Now, what we've got here this morning is not the haka. I'm not interested in learning any more about that. But what we do have is infinitely better. Here in Psalm 20, we have a kind of a national anthem. It's a battle song, which, as the opening line tells us, it was composed for the director of music. You see, David composed this psalm to be sung by the nation, to the nation, to the king, to God. And it was composed to make the king and his army ready for battle. And while we won't be going into Psalm 21 today, the 21 which follows is actually a continuation. And Psalm 21 is actually the prayer for the return of the king and his army from battle, offering all the praise and thanks to God for the victory. You see, Psalm 20 is a prayer for victory, but it's also a powerful declaration of trust in God. David and his people knew who the battle belonged to. The battle belonged to the Lord. And they knew where they could put their trust. Look at how the psalm starts in verse 1. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. When times get tough, I wonder, where do you turn to? Where do we turn to in times of distress? Let's face it, we're all in distress at some time or another. At any given time, there is something that causes distress in each of our lives. The question is, where do we turn? And there's great comfort here in this psalm. No matter how hard things get, we have a God who hears the cries of his people. You might know the story of Jacob. You can find it in the book of Genesis. Before Jacob was defended, raised up, and given a new name, Israel, he was Jacob. He was the guy who, let's face it, was hard to like. He cheated his brother. He lied to his father. He then went out to find a wife that he could share his inheritance with. But then he went through being on the receiving end of the same amount of deceit and lies that he himself had been a perpetrator of. At the hands of his new father-in-law, he spent year upon year being the victim of his father-in-law's tricks and deceit. This caused him to plead his cause to God. And by the time we get to the end of that, Jacob, who called God the God of his father, or the God of Abraham, turned around to now call his God my God. And here's the comfort for us. The same God who persevered with Jacob, even as he wrestled with God, will persevere with you when you call upon him. From verse 1 to 5 in this psalm, we see the repetition of "May the Lord." So if you look at the first 5 verses, there's may he, may he, may he, may he. So who's in charge? Well, God is, isn't he? May he answer, may he protect, may he support, may he remember, may he accept, may he grant the desires of our hearts, may he give success. Now remember, we're looking at a psalm that's been written by the king, for the king, praying for victory on the battlefield. So we need to ask the question, how is this psalm useful for us today? How can we pray this psalm for ourselves or for each other? Should we even do that? And I think we can. The more I've been reading over this psalm, the more it seems natural to be praying it over not only our own lives, but over the lives of those that we love. If we're to apply this prayer in our own lives, we need to take a deeper look at what is at the heart of this psalm. Join me by looking at verse 6. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. While our prayers for victory might be prefaced with a may, with an unknown, God's victory for his anointed is sure. Now this I know. It's a marked change from the may that precedes it. And I think this leads us to ask the question, what is victory? What is this victory that's being proclaimed? The victory of the Lord's anointed. And you know, while sporting teams, including our All Black friends, may pray and sing for victory on a football field, and we may seek victory over finances, job interviews, exams, families, new homes, the list just goes on, everything in our life. You know, all of these things are merely temporary. While we do well to submit all of these things to God in prayer, we would be fools to limit our prayer life to these things. Even our very lives in this world are temporary. We all face death in this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul calls death the last enemy, going on to say, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm." You see, the victory of God is a victory over death itself. And this is our assurance. Do you have that assurance? Do you know this victory over death? You know, many of you here, I heard earlier in our prayer, many of you knew and loved Paul Berenger. He was my friend. I learned much about prayer from that man. And I will miss him dearly. And I know he'd be happy for me to share a little bit of his prayer life with you. For Paul, the victory that he was assured of was not victory over sickness, but it was victory over sin and death. And he was assured of that. Why? Why was Paul assured of his eternal life? Was it because he prayed the right way? Was it because he had a strong faith? No. He was assured of eternal life because of who Jesus is and what he had done. And now Paul is living forever. And I know that I will one day join him. For I serve and follow and believe the same God. You see, God's victory doesn't always look like the victory that we want. But it's the victory that we need. God giving victory to his anointed king looked like the greatest loss ever imaginable. For Jesus, the Son of God, victory was being rejected by his own people, abandoned by all his followers, spat on, whipped, bashed, and nailed to a Roman cross to die in the place of me and you. Psalm 20 is looking forward to Jesus. He is the anointed one that this psalm speaks of. He is the one who God answers. He is the one whose offering is acceptable. He is the one who God rescues with the victorious power of his right hand. He died a horrible death, but God answered him and raised him to life. Jesus lives, and death has no hold over him. Our brother Paul lives, and death has no hold over him. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And Jesus has overcome the world. There's the victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory, in Paul's words. And this victory is our hope. This victory is our assurance. For those of us who identify with Jesus in his death, we also identify with him in his life. Eternal life has already begun in those of us who follow the Lord Jesus. Is that true of you? Do you believe this? For this is the heart of the Christian faith. This is what we believe as Christians. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Why do we stand firm? Make no mistake, we are in a battle. It's a battle of life and death, and it's a battle that rages even within us. And we need prayer to be our weapon in this battle. For while we're in this world, we're confronted by sin, even our own sin. And it threatens to destroy us. There is only one name in which victory over this may be found, and that's Jesus. Is your trust placed in him? Now, in closing, I wanted to share with you a prayer that I've written, which is using Psalm 20 as a guide. And I'd like to pray this over you guys. And I hope that in hearing this, you might be encouraged to be using the Psalms as a means of prayer, praying through the Psalms. So please join me as I pray. And this is for you guys. So, my Lord and my God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. May you, Lord, answer them when they are in distress. May the name of your Son, Jesus, protect them from evil. May you send them help from your sanctuary and grant them support as you fill them with your Holy Spirit. May you, Lord, remember the sacrificial death of your one and only Son, Jesus. And as we identify in his death, accept our offerings, Lord, of our broken spirits and contrite hearts. May you give all of us here new hearts and conform our desires to be yours. Take away all that is not pleasing to you. Father, may you make all your plans succeed in and through us. May we shout for joy over your victory. And lift up our voices, our hands, our lives to you in the name of Jesus. May you, Lord, grant all of our requests that are made in accordance with your will. Now this I know, Heavenly Father, you give victory to Jesus, your anointed one. You answer him from your throne. You have revealed the victorious power of your right hand in his death and resurrection. All around us, Lord, we see people placing their trust in anything but you. Some trust in finances, some in their homes, others in their jobs or in their families. Lord, many place their trust in the work of their own hands, and some in the work of other people's hands. But we here this morning, Father God, trust in you, the Lord our God. All who trust in anything else are brought to their knees and fall. But we who are hidden in Christ rise up and stand firm in him. Lord, give victory to Jesus and answer us, for we call on you in his name. Amen.